Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Let's get it going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world. Welcome on in once again, back again to the Sports Buffoon Studios here out of Lenexa, Kansas. We got the full crew with us, of course, once more. We got Tanner Dawson on my right. We got Jason JG on my left.
Yay, yay.
Doing his thing. And we are kicking it off. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today, you guys. And, you know, one of the things I love week to week, we do the show every single Wednesday night. And we talk about sports, you know, really just once a week as a full group, right? And I just love how it's ever evolving. Everything's always changing all the time. And, you know,
change is good.
One day goes by, two days go by. Something's different at all times about sports. And that's what makes it so special to me is that, you know, it never gets old. It's not a something you can, you know, you might write in history books and it's gone forever. It's like, you know, it's an ever evolving and it always will be. And that's one of the great things about sports, in my opinion. But I do want to ask you guys what you did with your last weekend. Anything fun, spectacular? Because we're going to talk about DeAndre Hopkins, of course. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals, of course. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers for a minute, at least, and maybe some Taylor Swift. So, Tanner, what'd you do this past weekend?
Yeah, you know, kind of relaxed. Went to a pool party with my ping pong mom and dad. Got to hang out there and just kind of hung out. So,
you went to a pool party, huh?
Yeah.
I guess it is that time of year now. I mean, now, here's the thing. Summer doesn't start till June, but, I mean, pool season is in full effect.
Pool starts Memorial weekend.
Basically, it's hot as fuck out there. I mean, it's going to be 85 degrees minimum.
Well, it's humid right now. But
it's humid.
But what does it go? Sunday? Sunday was perfect. It was like 78, 83 degrees, low humidity. Amazing.
That reminds me. I went down to Tulsa this past weekend with my girlfriend, and it was a badass time, you guys. Loved it a lot. Got to really show her around. As you guys know out there listening, we've gone to Tulsa together as a crew quite a few times by now
and
got to go to a lot of breweries. I'm currently wearing a Dead Armadillo Brewing Company t-shirt.
Shout out.
Those guys are awesome. If you guys can make your way down to Tulsa, I highly recommend checking them out. I thought that the time before that I went out there, I was a little underwhelmed, but no, they brought it back. They brought it back all the way, guys. They had a peanut butter imperial stout. They had a coffee imperial stout. Mm-hmm. They had a great double IPA. I mean, they were hitting in all the right places, just the way I like them. So had to support my fellas down there. And, you know, being down there was just a great time and getting experience different places and showing the girlfriend around. It's only 4 hours away. It's easy to get to from Kansas City. And that's one of the things that's great about, you know, living around here in this place is that we're in the middle of the map. Tanner is walking away from the conversation, but okay. But I do want to say my girlfriend and I stopped at a place on the way back, which everyone in this damn country knows about. But it just reminded me on the way back, we were stopping through Coffeyville. Coffeyville has a little gas station / restaurant attached to it, and they have Arby's right there. And I haven't had Arby's in probably, I don't know, 3 years or so. So to me, when I stopped in Arby's, I was like, well, I don't know what I want. I mean, they got their cheese roast beef sandwiches or whatever. Those are really good. But what I remembered about Arby's the most was how much I loved those goddamn curly fries. And those goddamn curly fries with the Arby's sauce on them is absolutely delicious. I love Arby's and the curly fries that they have to come with them. So, JG, I wanted to formally introduce you in this conversation by bringing up my favorite French fry from a fast food joint, I think is Arby's curly fries. And there was even kids in there talking about this, guys. There was kids inside the restaurant coming up to the workers and saying, hey, lady, I love your curly fries. And I wish I was making this up. I'm not. This is a real story. And I felt the same way. I felt like I was that kid in that moment, too. So, JG, what would be your favorite, fast food French fry?
Yeah, it's amazing that child had that reaction of amazing curly fries. It was almost like that was the best thing that had ever happened to him in his life, which reminds me of this past weekend, because it's probably the best thing that has ever happened in the history of the sports buffoons. We had two different buffoons, both in the state of Oklahoma, in different parts of Oklahoma at the same time. Now, you guys that follow us on Let's Talk Sports. You know where the JG was. You know I was in at the Windstar. I give thanks to all of you that were hunting for me, trying to find me in that fucking zoo, which was like probably it felt like there's a million people in that place. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Windstar Casino on the Texas-Oklahoma border down there in Thackerville, but it's like an entire city down there. And I know that you guys were looking for me. You didn't find me, which is why I told you that I was there, because I didn't give a shit. But we were both in Oklahoma at the same time, exploring different walks of life in terms of fast food. Arby's, I got to hand it to you. When you dip the curly fries from Arby's and the Arby's sauce, yes. Or if you do like the JG, I just get the big bag of cheese. I get a big bag of cheese, or just order that. Like three or four sense. Of those fucking little cups of cheese, and you dip the curly fries in that fucking right. cheese and jam it into your ass. That's what I would do. But I appreciate the fact that you brought that up, because right now we're going to talk about our favorite fast food fries in the history of mankind. And Arby's is certainly on my list. But Tanner, I'm going to go to you first, because this was a topic on an ESPN show a couple of days ago, and I have a bone to pick with one of the people of ESPN that were talking shit on my favorite fast food fries. So Tanner, what do you got for your favorite fast food bullshit?
We're talking fast food, just fast food, right? Doesn't count for barbecue or anything like that. Just McDonald's, Taco Bell, those kind of places.
French fries.
You can even include Five Guys. If you want
Five Guys
included.
Yeah. If you want it. They're on my list, by the way.
The Keen Range Strong. That's all I'm going to say. The Keen Range Strong. McDonald's is still there. McDonald's is still one.
All right.
You can't beat McDonald's fries.
So that's all I'm going to say. Right. So when I was down in Texas.
You don't want to hear anything else?
No, I don't care.
You're done with that?
You're full of shit. when I was in Texas, right? It was about a week before I went on there. I think it was Chris Canty of ESPN was talking about his favorite fast food French fries, and somebody called in. There was a caller into a show that said that In-N-Out French fries were the best, kind of like the greatest of all time. And Chris Canty said that they were trash. And, you know, as much as I love Chris Canty, I mean, he's a great, you know, fucking commentator on ESPN. And I love the guy, but I was taken aback when he told the world basically that In-N-Out French fries were trash. And I'm like, dude, if you think In-N-Out French fries are trash, you're not doing it correctly. And so I went there and I did it correctly this past weekend. You get four or five packets of the hamburger spread. You squirt it all over the fucking table, and then you dip your French fries into the spread. And it's the greatest thing of all time. And so In-N-Out French fries are probably about my favorite, because you dip it in the spread and you get the full experience. Not to mention that In-N-Out Burger is also the greatest burger in the history of mankind. So what do you got? What do you got about that, Tanner? What do you think about that?
I mean, not to interrupt anything here, but I feel like it's a little overboard with saying that they have the best fries and the best burger. I think that's a bit much. I mean, I'm a big fan of In-N-Out myself. I think that place is great. I go to Las Vegas at least once a year, and I enjoy myself some In-N-Out for sure. The French fries are really good. I think there's nothing unique about them, though.
Did you dip it in the spread?
Well, I've had animal fries, of course, which I think is also cheating, because I think to one point that Tanner kind of makes here with McDonald's is that I think he would like that fry even without ketchup. I think
I don't need ketchup.
So here's to my point.
I don't need
he doesn't need sauces for that McDonald's fry. And I'm not saying they're the best, because I don't think they are.
I'm curious to see. I got a poll pulled up from 2022, but I want to know your answer before we.
Well, go. I already told you guys. I literally had my favorite French fry on the way back from Tulsa, going through Coffeyville, Kansas, and I stopped at Arby's. And had my goddamn curly fry dipped in Arby's sauce, and that's my favorite French fry right now, I'd say. I cannot give the crown to In-N-Out personally.
But that's why if we did a top three list, which we're not going to do, we don't have that much time on the show, but we'll probably take that amount of time. I would have Arby's and Five Guys and In-N-Out as my top three. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why we should have this discussion, because
I love
there's a lot of shitty ass fries out there that people like to pump up and think that they're better than they really are.
I swear to God, guys, this is a sports show. Tanner, real quick, let us know. Okay. Is any of our top three on the top three?
All
of this
ours
list?
Are in the top 20, believe it or not.
Well, that's not what we were going for.
Number 20, In-N-Out Burgers. 20, last on the list. Last. You got to go all the way down to number 2 to find our next one. That would be McDonald's, world's famous fries.
Number 2?
Number 1, Arby's Curly
Let's
Fries.
Let's go, Arby's.
According to Thrillist from a 2022 April survey, that is what you got there. So In-N-Out's 20, Chick-fil-A, which would be in my top
fries.
That
waffle fries.
That's
good.
Actually number 3.
That waffle
finish
fries.
Out,
good.
Finish out your top 5. 4 is Checkers. / Rally's Famous Season Fries is actually it's pretty good. And finally rounds out is Wendy's.
No so, fucking Wendy's Five Guys. Where the fuck was Five Guys in that shit?
I'm looking here.
Well, they might not be categorized on this list as a fast food because there's no drive through. So maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah, but no, they're not.
I'm assuming they're not categorized as part of the fast food community
so
on that
20
one.
20 In-N-Out.
But I mean, well, that's my point. Is I thought they were they're fairly basic. Unless you add a bunch of crap to them.
No, you got to qualify that. Like, we're talking 20th place out of like 1,000. There's fucking 1,000.
White Castle's ahead of you.
White Castle?
Whataburger.
Now, hold on. White Castle's the crinkle fries. Right? Crinkle fries. Now, I will say Chick-fil-A's fries are pretty damn good. Those waffle fries are delicious.
So you also have Hardee's ahead of you, Popeye's.
No,
KFC,
Hardee's is bullshit.
DQ, Burger King.
That's fucking stupid.
Culver's, Cane's. Churches and W on top of that Taco Bell
right, dude.
Taco Bell nacho fries are on the list.
Let me tell you,
Arby's,
none of these people
and the rest.
I'm going to teach you Arby's. How to eat In-N-Out fries correctly. You get packets of spread, which nobody does. You dip it in the fucking spread, okay? You guys are not eating it correctly.
Jason,
so it doesn't count.
That's the thing. Real quick.
Say Jason, it and then we're done.
Jason, the whole point of having a best fry means you don't have to freaking put stuff with it. Eating fries itself means it's good.
It's like talking about steaks, right? Similar idea. You don't need
of
to
course.
Add sauce.
You don't need to put
perfect steak.
Because everybody in the damn world walks into a fast food restaurant and they eat their fries plain.
I do all the
Thank
time.
Thank you
all
for
right.
making
all
my
time.
Point for me.
Guys, we have a loaded show today, so we have a lot to talk about. French fries are not the fucking most important
eat
thing.
Eat it plain and jam it into your ass.
We will save this argument for after the show.
He just made my point for me.
You know, sometimes, Tanner, we do this pre-show thing where we leave the camera on.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a post-show sometime where we just leave it on and see what we talk about after the show. Would that be a good idea?
I don't think either.
Probably be a bad
I don't
idea.
Think either one's
probably,
a great idea.
Probably not be a good idea. All right, guys.
I'm with you guys more than that. So,
congratulations. You're 30 minutes in. You just made it to topic number 2.
That's right. Anyways, guys, let's talk about sports. All right, guys. As you all know out here, we are primarily a Chiefs-related show. So if you have not caught up to that yet, well, what the hell are you doing? So DeAndre Hopkins is now a free agent. We have not gotten to talk about that since he has become a free agent. And it happened on my drive down to Tulsa, by the way, on Friday afternoon. And it was exciting to me. I listened to the radio the entire way down, despite my girlfriend's reaction of wanting to fall asleep to listening to sports talk the entire way down. But I did it anyway, because I was telling her, I was like, but we got to find out what happens with DeAndre Hopkins.
What if he goes somewhere?
Whatever happens right now, I can't miss it. So anyways, got down there, hung out. Obviously, Hopkins has now taken his time. He even hired an agent, correct, something he had not had previously. This agent he has currently, it has Devontae Smith. Who else does he have on that? He has Ian Thomas for the Panthers.
Thibodeau
for the Giants.
You're talking about the Clutch Sports.
Yes. And so apparently he only has 4 clients involved in the NFL under his wing. But DeAndre Hopkins is by far the oldest.
Correct.
Because the other 3 we just talked about, we just mentioned, are guys that are fairly young in the league, have only been in the league for Devontae Smith 3 years.
And they're all in the NFC East.
All in the NFC East. That's very, very true. Now, I don't know that means anything, because I don't think so. This client or this agent is from Ohio.
Let's talk about this. Devontae Smith, Eagle. Chase Young.
Yes.
A football commander team Redskin.
Well.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Thibodeau Giant.
A Giant. It is confirmed, everybody. DeAndre Hopkins to the Cowboys.
Calm down.
right? That has
calm
to be
down.
It. He has to get the tri.
No, he's got quad, a pan- he's got a he's got a panther as well. Happen. He's got a panther as well. Ian Thomas is one of his others.
Oh, well, that don't count, dude.
Well, no, because he's not really a relevant player. But anyways, my point is, bring this up to you guys. There's a lot of talk right now, of course, on Sports Talk. When you turn on 610, turn on 810 here in Kansas City, and everyone's talking about where is DeAndre Hopkins going to end up? You know, if the Chiefs going to be able to be willing to give up some of the money. The Chiefs are dead last right now in salary cap at 32. The other team in the mix, of course, is the Buffalo Bills at 31 in salary cap. So if you go to SpotTrack, look up the information, you guys can do that yourself at home if you'd like. Well, they're both the teams that are the most interested in DeAndre Hopkins right now, or the most viable, suitable options for this kind of a player, are dead last in salary cap. And so the key for
Bills
the
Chiefs 30.
The key for the Chiefs to get a deal like this done is going to be an extension for Chris Jones.
Correct.
It's going to free up a little bit more cap. As well as I don't know what else, I mean, what else is going to take? Because here's the thing:
you're not resigning Gay.
The fact of the matter is that the current market value for DeAndre Hopkins as a free agent, remember, he's no longer going to be guys traded for $18 million a year on that cap. $23.2 million per year is the estimated value for DeAndre Hopkins going forward, and his current market value, based on SpotTrack, is 3 years, $69 million total.
Nice.
So can the Chiefs make that happen? How bad do you want them? Here's my thing. When it comes to the Chiefs and all of our talk and as fans of the team, and as much as I love DeAndre Hopkins, because I love him, the truth is the Chiefs are not the desperate team here. The Chiefs are not the team that's desperate to have a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. Can they win a Super Bowl without DeAndre Hopkins? Absolutely. That's been proven, right? Can the Buffalo Bills win a Super Bowl without DeAndre Hopkins? I don't know. I mean, we've not seen it ever happen before. So to this point, I would say that there's a desperate team involved in this. And that's a team, I think, that's going to be the one to put their leg out just a little bit further than Kansas City will to make a deal get done. And I'm not sure what that's going to take or what kind of restructuring of contracts is going to revolve around. But I do want to say there's a total of really four teams in the mix. According to Adam Schefter, Chiefs, Bills, you also have the Patriots, and you have the Cleveland Browns as the other option there that could be a potential suitor, which Deshaun Watson has said he would love to have Hopkins there in Cleveland, which, I mean, look, think about it, guys. How much of a match made in heaven would that be? Hopkins going back to his old former quarterback. I mean, that's a beautiful pairing.
So you got the 25th with the Browns in cap space.
But you can, they have enough.
They can manipulate
to where they can move things around.
I got the space.
At the end of the day, DeAndre Hopkins said three things he wants in a team. He said he wants to go to a contender. He wants to go to a team that doesn't need to have a elite quarterback, because he's proven himself with guys like Tom Savage and all the other randoms of the world the Texans went through over the years, of course. And of course, last year with the Cardinals. He also wants to have a great defense. That's important to him. The Browns have a great defense.
It got better.
It's improving. They added Juan Thornhill, of course.
And they got healthy again. So,
but the other thing, you know, Hopkins basically wants it to be known he's interested in working with a quarterback and in a team that is well managed and that just cares about the game.
Correct.
So those are very mature things to ask for, I would say, as a high valuable free agent. So, to me, when he's saying all these different things, I don't know that the Chiefs or even the Bills make the most sense in this. I think the Browns make a lot of sense, considering you got an agent from Ohio. You also have your former quarterback playing for that team, and they can make that thing work. And if you add him to that puzzle, the Browns, you know, assuming Deshaun Watson can figure out how to play quarterback again, like he did, you know, 3-4 years ago, that's going to be a great team. I mean, I would say that's potentially my option for where he lands.
So let's take a look at the odds here, because this is what makes things very interesting. So D-Hop wants 3 years, as you were saying, $69 million, somewhere along those lines. He wants his guaranteed money.
3 years, $69 million is the expected contract.
And we all know, as Chiefs fans, that's not how we do business, okay? But the Chiefs have the second best odds at plus 400 to land DeAndre Hopkins. So to me, that just doesn't make sense there. I mean, I think that the Chiefs' best case scenario would be like a 2-year, $30 million contract. But we all know they're not going 3 years, $69 million. That's not going to happen. So why are they the second best odds? Something is missing there for me. The best odds are the Bills at plus 300. And I do understand that to a certain extent because they threw money at Von Miller. Okay, so they've proven that they're that type of team that they want to cough up the money. There's a little bit of desperation there because they haven't really won anything in terms of Super Bowls. But then we go down the line here. So Baltimore Ravens plus 650. I see the need, but you just got rid of fucking Hollywood Brown. That doesn't make any fucking sense to me. And then you look at the Jets. Really?
Six and like, seven. Jets already said no.
Jets already said they're out.
But they're plus 700. That's like
That's people throwing their money away.
And then with New England at plus 900, okay, I can see it to a certain extent, but why in God's green earth would Cleveland be plus 2,000? So if I'm betting on this shit right now, I'm putting all my money on the Cleveland Browns at plus 2,000 because he's got that Deshaun Watson connection. They will probably have the cap space. And we're talking about desperation, Mike. Who is the most desperate? You got the Cleveland Browns, who the entire world likes to talk shit on them for bringing in Deshaun Watson. That reeks of desperation. And so they will overpay if it's necessary. And so if I'm putting my money down, it's going to be the Cleveland Browns here.
I would say the most desperate team to me is the Buffalo Bills, primarily because they have not gotten over the hump of proving themselves over either the Bengals or the Chiefs. And they feel like Hopkins could be that one piece that finally gets them to that point of being over that hump, because they've been sitting back for the last 4 or 5 years, right, behind Kansas City. And so to me, the Bills are so desperate. There's a lot of people right now saying the Bills window is over. I've heard that. There's people out there right now talking that the Bills window is about done.
I agree with you, but if we're talking plus 300 versus plus 2,000, you're going to put your money on the damn Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely. Betting wise, absolutely. I agree with you on that. I'm just saying, like, when it comes to, like, if you're running an organization and you're desperate as hell to get over the hump of the Bengals or Chiefs, and you feel like this one piece could be the final thing that gets you there, then you're going to be desperate to go all in on DeAndre Hopkins, and you have Stephon Diggs and Hopkins together on one team, you know, and then basically you have no excuses at that point.
And I agree with you. That's why I think the Browns should be the second best odds.
The Browns do make a lot of sense because I think they're capable of getting a guy like that. And it makes a lot of sense when it comes to familiarity, when it comes to the quarterback play, it comes to the agent.
And they can come up with the most guaranteed money. They've proven that. Yeah. They gave Deshaun Watson an obscene amount of guaranteed money, which nobody ever thought was possible. So why wouldn't they do the same thing for DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Tanner, what are you thinking, man?
I'm thinking it's all a smokescreen, honestly. Real quick here, Mr. AC, thank you for tuning in and commenting. Just get to it. The Chiefs won't pay what he wants. We already know that. And guess what? Like Mike said, Chiefs aren't the team to be desperate. I think it's all a smokescreen. I don't think the Bills get him. I don't think the Browns get him. I don't think the Ravens get him. I don't think the Chiefs get him. I think he stays in the NFC and goes to a team that's going to pay him the money that he wants, but yet feel like it's a contender in his mind. Guys, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a kid out there named JJ. He plays with this quarterback called Kirk Cousins. They have the most cap space in the NFL right now, and they're just about to release Dalvin Cook. And Thielen's not there. They drafted Addison, I believe it was, as well.
Jordan Addison.
I mean,
is that your pick? You going Minnesota route?
I'm going Minnesota or the number 12 in the cap space, Dallas Cowboys.
Let's see. Because
that's such a cowboy move right now.
Do they have a stable organization right now?
Currently somewhat, no.
Well, he said he doesn't need an elite quarterback. He just needs a quarterback that cares about the game.
So Kirk Cousins.
But he also said he needs a great D-line in particular.
That D-line's still decent right there. Their secondary struggles. I really think it fits his mold. I still think that the teams we're talking about today are a bunch of smokescreens. I think we're looking at a Vikings team. You're looking at a Cowboys potential team here. And God forsake, for whatever reason they do it, the freaking Niners. But it doesn't fit the QB mold. That's the only thing that bites them there.
Yeah, the Niners thing. Well, he talked about that he doesn't need a great quarterback. He just needs a quarterback that cares about the game.
They don't know what quarterback's going to be there in the Niners, right?
Brock Purdy is guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed.
I mean, Brock Purdy's there. He's going to be there for a few years.
That's who they believe in.
But he's not going to be starting the season.
You don't know
Tanner. That.
I know this, Tanner. Dude. His injury is a Tommy John. It's Tommy John.
It's going to affect more pitchers than it will football players.
Oh, my Lord. Stop. They believe
in Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I know. Brock Purdy's the guy. But he's not going to be there. That's the issue.
All right. So, obviously, we all have differing opinions on where Hopkins could end up. But, you know, as far as the Chiefs say goes, do we all feel like, I mean, there's a very unlikely chance that it happens?
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
It'd be cool.
And I don't have a problem with that because the dude's going to be 31 fucking years old. And, you know, the JG does not like old fucking players. In the end, like, if I'm drafting a fantasy team or what have you, this guy is not.
So you're going to be mad if we get him.
That's
what you're telling me.
He might be at the tail end of his prime.
So you're going to be mad if we get him.
No, I won't be mad. I'm just like, I'm not going to throw that much money at a dude that's 31 years old because I like the younger players.
If Veach and Hunt want to do it,
Don't want to do it.
I'll tell you what.
Fucking point.
If they do it,
let me tell you what. Hopkins has at least two more elite years left.
Easily.
Two more elite years. When I say elite, I mean, you're looking at a 1,400 yard receiver for 2 years in a row.
I talked with the record and sports guys about Hopkins as well. I mean, we're looking at stats. I mean, this is a guy that played 10 games with, I think, 700 or no, it was like a, no, it was 13 touchdowns and 500 yards in 10 games in 2021. Last year, he played seven games and, or no, he played 10 games? No, 8 games.
He played more than half.
Okay. So it was about 7 games with 13 touchdowns in 21, 10 games in 22 with just over 750 yards. This is a guy 3 games away with a backup quarterback getting almost 1,000 yards in less than half the season.
I'm not worried about this guy being like over the hill or whatever.
No.
Hopkins is a very special player. I want to make that known. I've been a fan of him since day one coming into the league. The guy's badass. I love his hands. Just a really unique player for sure. So I get if the Chiefs have a genuine interest, as we're being told, I get it. I get why. But at the same time, we're not desperate enough to overreach for a guy like him either.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. The only time, if I'm the Chiefs, that I would make a huge reach here is if it's between me and the Bills. If he's not going to go to the Bills, then I do not care.
I don't care.
Let him go to the Browns. But if it becomes a situation where the Bills are the front runner and they're going to land him, then as a Chiefs fan, then I'm going to put a little bit more behind it because
that's the thing. That's the pressure.
That's who I'm competing with.
The pressure right now is between the two teams. That's the main pressure is
the
Bills and Chiefs because the Bills mindset is if the Chiefs get Hopkins, then they have no fucking chance. And the Bills' mindset is if they get Hopkins, they can finally get over that hump and beat the Chiefs and the Bengals. And so that's the thing, is that they feel like it's a big move. So that's more important for the Bills to sign Hopkins than it is for Kansas City or any other team for that matter.
Do what you got to do, Bills, I guess.
The Chiefs have proven that they don't need a guy like him to be successful.
So I would say if you're the Chiefs, yeah, if you can just sign the guy, even if you think he's too old or is going to get injured or what have you, you're going to take him. The Chiefs can be winners just by taking him off the market.
He's only been.
And I do agree with that philosophy there.
Yeah.
Take him off the market.
I mean, the Bills will feel defeated on that alone.
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
that's literally a victory over them on that alone. And morally, you defeat them in their management if that was to happen.
Because they've already topped out anyway. Their window is past.
Right, that's how they feel. I mean, that's how it goes.
Josh Allen has to adjust his game. That's all it is. And if D hops the ability to do it, then they got to go after it.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with Hopkins for sure. As you guys know, I think he's a special player. So wherever he ends up, I think it's going to be fun because he's going to pick his spot. And whether he ends up successful where he goes or unsuccessful, it's going to be his own fault. So, you know, going to the Cardinals last time, he got traded there. This time it's a little different, so he can pick and choose where he feels like ending up.
I'm not near my cool soundboard right now, but I got some breaking news here in the NBA as we get there. Monty Williams, Shams Charania just broke 6 minutes ago. Monty Williams and the Detroit Pistons have agreed to a principal 6-year, $72 million deal that he'll become the franchise's new head coach. So there goes Monty.
I wasn't overly impressed with him as a coach for the Suns. So for me, I couldn't care less personally.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he was awful. He was not bad. He also was not great. So to me, I'm not upset about it or care about it really for that matter. So no, I'm just saying that as a Suns fan. So
yeah, I mean you've got Nick Nurse going to the Sixers, and you've got Doc going to whoever the fuck knows where he's going. Suns. It's just they're shuffling each other like it's like musical chairs with all these fucking coaches, and it doesn't even matter. I mean, you've got the elite coaches like Eric Spoelstra and Greg Popovich, and then you got these second tier coaches that they've won a championship and then they shit the bed, and so they just rotate.
Yeah,
they're literally playing musical chairs.
It's like the last girl at the bar going at the end of the night. You
doesn't
know
fucking
I mean?
Matter.
She'll rotate between all the different guys, you know, over time. It's, so
and nobody gives
Milwaukee,
a shit.
Right? Milwaukee's out here getting Adrian Griffin. Decides not to go after a big name like Nick Nurse or anything like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and dig into the nitty gritty of the NBA Finals because we're finally here. I mean, it took us long enough because we had to extend this damn thing to 7 full freaking games. But it also gave us a lot to talk about and care about, I guess, over the last 2 weeks, because otherwise the Nuggets took care of business quickly. And we thought for a minute the Heat would do the same thing, but no, they wanted to play around and all this kind of stuff. And here we are. Finally, they get 2 days of rest walking into Thursday night's matchup going against the Denver Nuggets. And I feel like this is the two best teams at this point. Because to me, the Celtics proved that they are too hot and cold to be in this kind of fight. And Tanner, you and I talked about this last week, and we both agreed the Celtics were the better matchup
Correct.
For the Denver Nuggets because Correct. The highs were higher, the lows might be lower.
Yep.
Well, the Heat, they are the more stable team between the two, and that's why they have moved on to this point. So I'm going to let you guys discuss this for a minute for the finals situation coming up. I know this is going to drag on for a couple weeks, so I don't want to dig in super deep, but I'll let you guys have the floor for a few minutes and even argue if you want. You guys have something to battle about? You guys have a differing opinion?
It depends Jason says.
We have some breaking news today that Shannon Sharpe's going to leave undisputed.
I was just going to say that towards the end of the show.
So
Wait. You guys say that every fucking week and it never
happens. No, it's official.
If you guys,
FS1 is doing a buyout. Shannon Sharpe
is as sick as Skip Bayless. He said, fuck you. He's walking out. And so this is official news, by the way. I'm going to let you guys do your best impersonation. Who's going to replace Shannon Sharpe? Who wants to face Skip Bayless? You guys can go at it.
I couldn't do it. I get away from Jason to say stuff. So,
Who wants to say dumb stuff first?
I will tell you, like, this is brand new news here, and I was not expecting this, but I will tell you who is going to replace Shannon Sharpe. It's not going to happen for 4 years, but Jimmy Butler, when he retires, will replace Shannon Sharpe.
Now, is that going to be after a ring? Or without a ring?
It's going to be after a ring.
Okay.
And I want to start this segment off by telling you my favorite thing to do on this show is to let you know when I'm wrong. Okay. The true sign of a real man, you motherfuckers, is when somebody admits that they're wrong. The JG was wrong on this fucking show because I told you guys on fucking, what was it? Friday, Saturday, Tanner. I was drunk the whole weekend, so I don't even remember what fucking day it was, but I told you guys that Miami was going to close this shit out in 6 games, and then they didn't do it. And then I told you, well, if they don't do it in 6, they're going to get their fucking ass kicked. And the opposite happened because Miami pulled that shit out on the road. Okay. And nobody saw that shit coming, but I will be the first to tell you that I was wrong about that shit. I was wrong about Miami winning that last series in 7 games. I'm not going to be wrong again here. So let's talk about Denver -410 to win the title. Huge.
It's a big number.
Huge fucking favorite to to beat Miami. Okay. Let's talk about Denver versus Miami here. So Miami Heat are 6-0 in the postseason. They are undefeated when Bam Adebayo gets 20 or more points. Okay. I'm just laying out some stats here. So 9 of their 12 wins in the postseason have come as underdogs in the playoffs. Okay. So they are bucking the odds every single fucking step of the way. They are number 2 in opponent points per game in the postseason. So basically, they will destroy you on defense. And when people try to say, well, fuck, they didn't play anybody. Oh, yeah, by the way, they beat the fucking Milwaukee Bucks, who are the favorites to win the championship. And they also beat the Celtics, who, when we started, this race from the very beginning, guys, people were saying that the Milwaukee Bucks and the Celtics were not the best two teams in the East. They were the best two teams in the NBA. Oh, by the way, the Miami Heat destroyed both of those motherfuckers, okay? They also beat the Knicks, and which is neither here nor there. But my point is that defense wins championships. They have the second best defense in opponents' points per game in the postseason. The number 8 seed has never won the NBA Finals, and they've only made it one other time. That was in 1999, which doesn't really count because it was the lockout year. This is like one of the biggest favorites in history. This is like a David versus Goliath matchup. You got the two best players, in my opinion, on the floor. The two best players in this series are Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. And there are very few people that would argue with me on that point. When you look at the matchups, Bam Adebayo, he's going to guard Jokic, which that's going to be a tougher matchup for Jokic versus Denver's last series because
what?
It's a worse matchup. Anthony Davis is an elite rim protector. Okay. So Anthony Davis is great at the rim, but Bam Adebayo guards all over the floor. So to me, Bam at his age, okay, I know Tanner is still sold on old man Anthony Davis. Like, do you really think, Tanner, that the Lakers put up a fight there with old man LeBron James and old man Anthony Davis? Do you really think that Denver had to work hard in that series? Don't you?
You think Bam's going to be the guy that stops Joker?
He doesn't have to stop him, dude.
Slow him down?
He has to slow him down.
Bam.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
The guy who had
nobody
down low facing him all series.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, old man Anthony Davis.
Old man Anthony Davis gave Joker everything.
No, he didn't do shit. No, he didn't do shit.
If you think Bam's your solution,
Joker got a triple double whenever the hell he wanted in that series. And you fucking know it. You know how I fucking know it? Because they fucking swept the shit out of that fucking team. That's how I know it. So my point is like when you're looking at the matchup, Bam Adebayo is a better matchup. He's a better body that you can throw on Nikola Jokic than Anthony Davis in that previous series. Now, Aaron Gordon is probably going to guard Jimmy Butler. They're going to throw some Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on there for a while, but Aaron Gordon's the guy that's going to guard Jimmy Butler. Do you really think that Aaron Gordon is a better defensive player than the players that were guarding Jimmy Butler in that last series? Because Jimmy Butler, he didn't have that good of a series against the Celtics. Do you know why? Because Jason Tatum did a really good job on him.
Because their front court's great.
Derek White is an all-NBA defensive player. Al Horford, with the length, did a really good job on Jimmy Butler. And so Jimmy Butler he didn't have that great of a series.
Oh, what's up, dude?
If you look at what Jimmy Buckets did, go back and look at Jimmy Buckets' stats versus the quote-unquote best team in the league, Milwaukee Bucks, in that round one series.
That one,
he fucking destroyed them.
It's false stats, dude.
But Jason Tatum and Derek White, Al Horford, those guys are great elite defenders. They did a good job on Jimmy Butler. Miami Heat still won that fucking series. And so Jimmy Butler is going to be able to do more offensively in this series. Do you know why? Because those two best players on the floor that I just told you about, who are actually better offensively than Jimmy Butler, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. Yeah, they're not going to give you much on defense because the Joker is not a rim protector. He can't do shit around the rim, okay? And Jimmy Butler gets a lot of his points around the rim. And so they, I'm telling you, these guys are not intimidated by Denver, okay? So Miami, to me, should win this series, even though they're not the favorite. And I'll tell you one other thing. Who's going to guard Jamal Murray? It's a guy by the name of Caleb Martin. And
hold on.
Caleb Martin.
Are you about to make a case? Because Caleb Martin had a phenomenal conference finals. I'm not going to say anything.
He did great.
Caleb Martin, I'm not talking
about offense.
Well, I'm just saying he had a phenomenal conference finals. I get that.
I don't care about his offense.
But you also said the other day, not that long ago, 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, that the Denver Nuggets would still win without Jokic as long as they had Jamal Murray. And now I know where the fuck you're going with this. You're about to devalue Jamal Murray right now?
That was not one of my better days when I said that on the show. I can tell you that. I'm just telling
you. Go ahead for another minute. You got 1 minute.
I'm talking about Caleb Martin defensively on Jamal Murray. That's a 6 foot five. It's a 6 foot five versus a 6 foot four superstar. Caleb Martin can slow him down.
A 1 inch difference. Woohoo!
He's a defensive bitch tit. Like, he's going to slow him down. Like, you mark my word, dude. Y'all think that fucking these guys are superstars, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. And that's
you told
true.
Us Jamal Murray is a superstar on the show 2 weeks ago.
On the offensive side of the floor. That's true.
Jesus
but
Christ.
Do you know what wins championships, Mike? In fact, Mike, you of all people should know this.
I've seen three championships of my favorite teams in this city since I've been alive.
Let me tell you, this guy right here sitting next to me is an NFL mastermind. He is smart enough to know that defense wins championships. And so when Caleb Martin shuts down Jamal Murray, that you're going to understand what the difference is between defense and offense.
If that happens, that'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
He's going to shut
his
ass
down. The problem is, that's not going to happen. Okay. That's what's funny about it to me.
You keep smoking your shit, whatever you're smoking, then you give me a hit of that.
You literally said the Nuggets would still win going forward without Jokic, even if he didn't exist, all because Jamal Murray was just that damn good. So apparently now Caleb Martin, of all people, who is a seventh man off the damn bench, is going to be shutting down Jamal Murray.
Let me tell you this.
Are you kidding me?
That when I said that was when I thought they were facing the Celtics. Now that they're facing the Miami Heat, that shit's not going to happen, dude.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because the Boston Celtics, they don't have enough fucking dogs. They don't have enough fucking dogs on that team.
No,
and
I know.
You guys are laughing right now. You know, You're in for a big fucking surprise.
Here's the thing. I agree with
you're
you
in
about
for a big
that,
fucking
that
surprise.
Last thing you said was correct. But here's the thing. The Nuggets are dogs. The Celtics are a bunch of pussycats, right? I think we can agree on that. Celtics are soft. They prove themselves to be a soft team.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well,
I agree with you.
The Heat are dogs. Also, the Nuggets are freaking dogs, guys. Same thing. That's why they're both at this fucking point.
I'm just telling you, when I told you that Jamal Murray didn't need any help to rum shot through the fucking playoffs, that's when I thought they were playing the Celtics in the championship.
So now they're playing someone different. It doesn't matter. This is a different player now. Now all of a sudden, Jamal Murray is this. He just woke up. He woke up the next day and he's a different kind of guy.
No, dude. Doesn't fucking matter. Do you know why? Because
he's a different guy.
The Miami Heat.
Jimmy Butler.
He just woke up.
Let me tell you,
all of a sudden, I'm a pussycat.
Hey, Tanner knows what I'm going into right now because the Miami Heat have championship pedigree. They've got Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra. They've got guys on that team that have won championships, Kyle Lowry. You know, you guys don't take Kyle Lowry seriously because he's 37 fucking years old. He makes big plays in big moments. Kevin Love is on that fucking team. He's won a championship with LeBron James. And so Eric Spoelstra is going to outcoach Mike Malone. Like, we all know that this is not a debate. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. Eric Spoelstra will outcoach him and the entire world fucking knows it. So I'm just telling you, when you see that -410 for Denver, you might want to just pump the brakes on that a little bit because the public right now, Mike, you told me about this a little bit earlier. The public is coming in hard, fucking hardcore on the fucking Miami Heat to win this fucking series.
Yes.
And they are going to win this fucking series. I'm telling you right the fuck now.
Hold on. We have the odds, which are minus 410, yet the public vote right now is 63% money line on the Miami Heat.
That's on DraftKings, right?
And that's on DraftKings. You guys can look it up if you want. It might have changed over the last 2 hours. I don't know. But it was at least there when I looked 2 hours ago. So 60% money line fan vote, basically. So people are basically, they're looking at the, well, here's the problem, guys. The minus 410 is stupid. Like, that's, I would never touch that with my own dick.
Oh, I think you would, actually.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't believe you.
I would never get close to, no.
You're a lying sack shit.
Minus 410. You want me to, put $100 up to win fucking, what? Would that be $18? You know how stupid that would be?
Maybe I'm
thinking. It's a waste of my time.
No, I'm thinking about myself. No, I would consider.
I'm saying money in line with the odds included, guys. Keep that in mind when I'm talking about this. Is that the Heat are plus, is it 300? Is that what we're looking at right now?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm gonna put money
take it.
On somebody, put my 100 on the Heat to then make that 300 rather than my 100 on the Nuggets to win me $18. You know what I'm saying? Like, think logically, you guys.
Put your whole life savings on
it. Does not mean the people of the world actually think that the Nuggets are going to lose this to the Heat in this finals. But it makes sense when it comes to betting because the odds are such crap. So that's all.
I'm just confused. Tanner, I don't get it.
Well, what do you not get, Tanner? Let's all work this out for a minute. We have another 2 minutes left to talk about this before we move on.
I don't need a lot here. By the way, Bo, shout out to you. You said sounds like you picked up a weed sponsor.
Yeah.
Some days, man.
Sponsor. Look. Oh yeah, we should probably read that. No, we're gonna read that script here one of these days.
Weed Wednesdays with the boys.
Okay,
that's what it is.
Yeah, read that fucking script, Tanner.
Look, I just don't get it. We're talking about a team that lost in the playing game. That beat the number one seed with Giannis out of game, being hurt most of the last few games. Middleton, that's not a leader at all there. Then you go on and face the Knicks, who are beat up Brunson, beat up team. Not a team that's going to hit the conference finals anyways, right? Regardless. And then you go on, you face the Celtics. Great matchup. Took them 7 games. They came back for a minute.
Were the Celtics not healthy, Tanner? Were they not 100% healthy not in game that series?
Seven. Game seven. Nope. But
yes, they were. They were 100% healthy.
No, Tanner's point.
Meanwhile.
No. Tatum got hurt first play of the game. Dude.
He did.
Meanwhile, we haven't had Victor Oladipo. We have not had Tyler Hero, who's another story. Not, we might see him series.
I think you're taking the wrong way. I'm not discrediting Miami. Miami won the games that were presented to them. With the unfortunate of the other team having some issues. Okay.
How is that unfortunate when you don't have Victor Oladipo and Tyler Hero on your fucking team?
I mean, they had their stuff. Miami, Jimmy Butler's better. Okay. Now on the other side, let's talk about the Nuggets here. You had to face a Lakers team. First off, you had to go play the Suns, right? Okay. Play the Suns. KD,
you had to play, you had to play two fucking guys.
Two superstars.
You had to play five on two, the whole fucking series.
That Suns team had with KD leading up to that point.
Two superstars.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. With KD leading up to that point, was that team not basically undefeated?
Yeah.
Five on two. Congratulations.
I'm just saying, leading up to that point, this was the one team to take him down.
So two superstars.
With CP3. Congratulations.
No, he was not there.
He injured his cock. Okay.
Like usual.
They worked hard to win.
And then
that
you go on and you had to face who? The Lakers. And who did the Lakers beat? The Ja Morant Grizzlies.
I'm sure that was the defending champs. Do you think that was a difficult series, Tanner, for the Lakers to beat Memphis with that whole circus show going on with Ja Morant?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure you do. You think that was a hard fought series.
LeBron got there and you beat LeBron, the king, in his series.
You know why?
Old man LeBron.
Because he could not slow down
the Joker,
the MVP of the entire NBA 3 years running, baby. That's right. The Joker. Jokic. Here's the thing. Let's not underestimate what he can do for a team. And I think that at the end of the day, Tanner's point is that, you know, the Heat deserve to be here. Yeah. He deserve to be where they're at
right now.
They
won their matchups.
But the fact of that we're discrediting the elite monster, who I talked about as the main boss in a video game just two weeks ago. The main boss. just 2 weeks ago. This is the thing, is that this team is now a complete team. This Nuggets team took years to build to this point, and now they're hitting their prime, and they're just, they're a monster.
It's a monster.
And it's
their bench are a monster.
It's one of those special things.
As I call them, the brick wall.
What you see right now, Jokic, is what you saw of Giannis 2 years ago.
By the way, if we can real quick here, you're talking about defense here. Miami Heat, sixth in points, best defense, 11th in offensive and rebounds overall, 10th in defensive and offensive. We go to the Nuggets here real quick. 7th best in the points category for defense, 3rd best in rebounds overall, 5th and 3rd in the defense and offensive rebounds. Second chance points makes everything go. Bam Adebayo has a lot to do underneath to prevent Joker from giving that team second chance points, because Bam's going to have to do what AD couldn't and give his team second chance points.
So another matchup to watch in this series is going to be who's going to guard Michael Porter Jr. Because when they played the Lakers, he had all these fucking wide open shots and he was nailing them. Credit to Michael Porter Jr. He was on fire in that fucking series and he was hitting his wide open shots, but they would put the smallest fucking guard that they had to fucking guard him. Now, all of a sudden, you've got Max Strus on the Heat. And I think that's a key matchup, because Max Strus is a bigger bodied guy that can keep up with Michael Porter Jr. and at least get a fucking hand in his face. And so that'll be interesting for me to watch, because Michael Porter Jr. is the key guy in this series for Denver, because he's the third guy that's going to have to hit those fucking shots. And can Max Strus be the guy that kind of disrupts him a little bit?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, the Heat have their own advantages as well. They play hard. They have a little bit more to prove, right, than maybe the Nuggets. But the Nuggets also have a lot to prove, too, from 2020. So, I mean, this is a great series. I think this – do we want to give predictions now?
Gun to your head right now. Who are you taking?
Nuggets.
Nuggets, but I'm not touching that minus 410.
Okay.
Not betting on that shit. Fuck that. Okay. I'm not touching that shit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go game by game here, but I will pick the Miami Heat to win the series. Because I trust them a little bit more. They've got a little bit more fight to them.
I don't know what else you
and
do.
they've got that championship pedigree, because they've been to the finals before. All right. In the bubble, they didn't win it, but at least they have that championship pedigree to at least they've been there before.
The Nuggets lost to the same team, that team that ended up winning it that same year.
That's
so you
fine.
Just can't remember.
That's
there's,
fine.
There's payback on both sides.
Yeah, no, that's fine, Tanner, whatever you want to say. But I'm just saying, like, the Miami Heat have been to the finals before. The Nuggets have not.
I'll agree with Football Talk here. It says Denver wins in six.
Five.
I'm going to go Denver in six.
Five.
You're on five. Yep. So Tanner's very dominant Denver then.
By the way, Tyler Hero will not play game one. Just it's official there.
That's now official.
No, okay. So Tyler Hero is going to play in game three. And they're throwing a bunch of bullshit out there about, oh, well, maybe he'll be back for one and two. Guys, that's not going to happen. And so what's going to happen with Hero is he will be available for game three. The game one and two bullshit is just a smokescreen. But he can give them some offense, because I think he averaged like, what, 20 a game during the regular season?
Hold on, though. Caleb Martin did everything that Tyler Hero can also do in the last couple of games. I just want to make that clear that
he has
been the replacement for Tyler Hero the last few
Tyler
games.
Tyler Hero is a better shooter.
Well,
that's what you missed a lot.
Overall, but I mean, I'm just saying the last two games of production,
Martin's been
fire.
Yeah,
he's done more than Hero could do at that point.
The thing about Tyler Hero is, like, at least in game one and game two, he's not going to be a part of the rotation, because the rotation that they've got going right now, that's what got them here to this point. And so if they do throw Tyler Hero in there, it's not going to be until game three. And even if you see him in game three, he's probably only going to play like 10 or 12 minutes just to get his dick wet.
Okay. So quick here, do you have any prop bets?
Prop bets. I did have one. So not for the whole series, but just for game one. Anyway. I do have Jamal Murray over 25.5.
Oh, I like that.
In this situation, because I just see that guy still working the floor the way he did previously, where the guy's all over the place. I like him, you know, not only getting down low, but also the threes. I think he's just a very versatile player at this point, and he's really come through the last.
Where,
series, really.
Where'd you find that? DraftKings?
On DraftKings. Okay. 25.5. I would go the over on that for Jamal Murray. And I know they're playing a great defense, of course, but I think that, that Murray is one of those guys that, you know, if Jokic is the focal point, well, guess what? It's almost like one of those things where when you're playing against Bill Belichick and they want to take away your top player, well, guess what? That means everybody else gets to eat.
Damned
and so to
do,
me, that, to me, that's going to mean Jamal Murray gets to eat. Yep. So
what do you got, Jason?
I'll tell you what, guys, like before I saw the end of that Eastern Conference Finals, I did have Denver winning the NBA Finals. But when I saw how the Eastern Conference Finals ended, that's when I kind of changed my tune a little bit, because it just they defied all the odds. There's no explanation for this fucking team. They were losing the second. Tanner, you brought up the fact that they lost the first play-in game. They were getting their ass kicked in that second play-in game.
They were 12 points.
They guys, let me. I can't make this clear enough. They do not deserve to be here. Okay. No. And that's exactly what their coach is telling them right the fuck now. So before I saw game 6 and 7, I was like, yeah, Denver is going to just take this thing. No problem. But when I saw the end of that Eastern Conference final, I was like, no, I believe in Jimmy Buckets. I believe in that motherfucker because he's the biggest dog. He's the biggest dog that you've seen thus far.
Jason.
And so Jason. You've got bigger superstars Jason. In the West.
What's your prop bet?
Fuck the prop bet, man. Just go all in. Go all in on the Miami Heat, dude.
Okay.
Fuck the prop bet. The Miami Heat are going to win this fucking series, and you assholes are wrong. That's the most important thing.
So, okay. All right, well, my prop bet, guys, is that anytime you get a chance to bet the series, a triple-double, bet it for Joker. Plus 105 for tomorrow's game on BetMGM currently is the best out there for at least the apps and sportsbooks we get to bet on. So
yeah, bet that shit against the best defense in the playoffs. Every single time. Man.
That 25-year-old Bam is not going to do anything any better than 30-year-old AD. So just be aware it's going to happen.
Yeah, no, that and don't bet on that.
If you're
shit.
Able to bet it, I can't bet it because none of my apps will have it. But futures, average a triple double by the end of the series.
He's not going to average a triple double.
Easy money.
He might get three if he might get two if he's lucky.
What are you talking about? The guy's averaging right now in the playoffs a triple double.
Bam's going to shut his ass down, man. Lord, are you dude. Fucking shitting me?
All right, guys. Well, I got another thing I want to bring up real quick. So I told you guys in the beginning of the show we'd talk about Aaron Rodgers for a couple minutes. So Aaron Rodgers obviously was seen at a Taylor Swift concert, which is at MetLife Stadium.
It's me.
So
hi, I'm the problem.
Aaron Rodgers is having a good old time now in his life, which is the first time in a long time for him to be enjoying himself.
Which is good.
Well, he's been pissed off for like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. So and
franchise been shitty.
Yeah. So anyways, had me kind of thinking, you know, there was a reporter that walked up to him and she was like, so what's your favorite Taylor Swift song? And he goes, honestly, too many to name. And then he names off his favorite album. And then he starts naming off all of his favorite songs from the album and all that. And I was like, oh, this guy's not joking around. I mean, this guy is legit like a T-Swift fan. And so I had to ask you guys, you know, who would be right now your favorite female pop singer that would get you all giddy up in the juicy
rock,
bits?
Rap, you know, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Like, whoever would get you guys, because if you saw the video, I wish we had a video right now to pull up for you guys of Rodgers jamming out to T-Swift. I just wonder who would be the one to get you guys all pumped up to see just the way that Rodgers was excited to see T-Swift. Because, I mean, for me, I'd probably say, you know, my girlfriend hates us, but Selena Gomez, you know, still one of my favorites. So it's right there for me just because I've always been a Selena Gomez fan. But growing up, I was a big Britney Spears fan.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thing. So otherwise, I don't know. You guys know out there listening, I'm a metalhead. So I have metal girls I like, of course. But
Amy Lee?
None of you? No. Not Amy Lee. Not Amy Lee. So anyways.
I've seen it better anyways.
I'm not an Amy Lee.
I don't understand why he was at that concert if he wasn't trying to do like a gangbang or something like that. Like, I really don't understand because somebody interviewed him and said, do you think that Taylor Swift is interested in you? And he said, no, I don't think she is. I'm like, well, what the fuck are you doing there, man?
It's good music, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I like Taylor
Swift. No, I think Aaron Rodgers has a hard on for her.
Who's your female artist that you want to go see that you would love to see?
I want to listen to your answer first.
All right. Well, like Mike said, he was a Britney Spears fan when he was younger. I'm a Christina Aguilera fan. So Genie in the Bottle all freaking day. But the today, if I was going to go see one today, Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys would be a blast to see.
Is she still around? Is she still doing stuff?
She's still doing stuff.
What does she do anymore?
She does a lot of private and other events that you don't see on the album. Private events? It's not on the album.
Well, what I mean is, like, does she tour around? Like,
yeah, yeah.
How, like, once you're Alicia Keys, like, what happens to your life? Do you just, like, go do private events?
She can do whatever the hell she wants. That's the best part.
Well, I know, but, like, some of these people, like, go to Vegas, and they're, like, they have, like, a spot in Vegas that they're just stuck at for 3 years.
She's just touring around. She's working with Jay-Z and some of those other guys out there, producers, and she just goes around, tours around, and does different events.
I never hear about Alicia Keys concert,
though. I know, but I follow her on Facebook, so.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm not hating. I'm just asking questions.
Alicia Keys would be mine today.
I can't believe he just said that, because Alicia Keys would have been my selection like 12 years ago, all day long.
That's what I mean. Kind of like, what happened to her?
Yeah, I think Tanner's living in his mind like 10 years ago.
I follow her on Facebook, so I see events.
Ooh, he follows her on Facebook.
All right.
So, you know.
Well, so
I stay up to date.
For today, I mean, I would say Sia is my favorite female artist.
I love Sia. Yes.
She did a great song called The Greatest, and there was like a remix with Kendrick Lamar,
yep,
who I've also seen in concert. Kendrick Lamar is an amazing artist. And so, but yeah, female artist, I'm going to go with Sia. She's got all that motivational stuff that'll get you jacked up.
When you
first get up in the morning and you drink your coffee, just listen to a Sia song, and that'll get you motivated to do something great.
Wish I knew more. Most of my people just yell at me, and then I feel good about myself.
Well, you don't have enough females in your life. That's your problem.
No, I don't need a lot. I just need a couple. That's it. I need
to get more.
I got Courtney LaPlante is my favorite female vocalist right now, and she sings for Spirit Box.
So real quick before you hit that outro, guys, just a simple yay or nay. It's all I want to get here.
Miami Heat.
Oh, God. JG, we'll start with you. Celtic duo done. Tatum Brown.
I'm glad you brought that up, Tanner.
No. It's a simple yes or no. We're not talking about it.
All right. I will keep this as concise as possible. So everybody that wants to break these two bastards up, just hear me out. Michael Jordan didn't win a championship until his seventh year in the league. LeBron James didn't win a championship until his ninth fucking year in the league. Steph, he was kind of an anomaly as a superstar, sixth year in the league. So when you look at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're in year 5 and 6, guys. Just give them a fucking chance. And that's the problem I have with society today. Everybody has all these fucking knee-jerk reactions where, oh, if I don't get what I want right now, I'll just fucking blow it up. And it's the same thing in sports media. Just blow it up, tear them apart.
You should see Bumble these fucking days. You got one thing wrong with you. You're swipe left. You're out.
It's bullshit. Okay. These guys, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they need fucking continuity. And I understand that Ime Udoka is gone and all that bullshit with their coach and shit, but they need continuity. And that's exactly what I'm trying to point out here. Don't fucking trade away Jaylen Brown. That's the stupidest fucking thing you could do. Give him his $300 million. Give Jason Tatum his $300 million and let the chips fall where they may. And if you're wrong, you can live with that. But I'm telling you, yeah, all these fucking, you think Jordan,
you want to wrap
Michael
up
Jordan,
$800 freaking million dollars into a payroll for two players.
I'm comparing you to Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time. LeBron James, second greatest player of all time. Didn't win the fucking championship till their seventh and ninth year. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum are in fucking year 5 and 6. Okay. You're going to write that shit off and blow it up? I think not. Okay. Just hold your fucking horses. Okay. Don't do this fucking knee jerk reaction bullshit. Keep that fucking core together. You know why? Because the NBA is built on two things right now. It's built on fucking elite wing players that can play defense and shoot threes. Okay. Now, the Boston Celtics have two of those motherfuckers on the same team. Why would you blow that up unless you're an idiot?
Okay.
Outro.
So, no. Okay.
Keep them together.
I want to keep them together. I don't think you can afford it. So that's all I'm going to say there. I don't think
they can afford it. No, you're full of shit.
It's a lot of money to afford it. All right, guys, just a quick announcement here. I know we're not in LTS right now. There's some issues going on with that channel and streaming, but tune into Let's Talk Sports Monday, June 5th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern for the LTS premiere debut. If we're not live, tune in 2 hours later because that means we're still having an issue. So, but that's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, wait. In the hoop.
What?
This weekend. Tune in. Big show. We'll be, let's see here, 1-4. So we'll be into game 2 that day.
Covering the NBA Finals, Tanner.
Game 2? Because game 1's tomorrow, the second, third. Okay, getting ready for game 2.
I will say one thing. If for some any reason the Chiefs do sign DeAndre Hopkins, then we're going to do an impromptu, quick 15-minute show for you guys.
You know, stay tuned, guys.
Just in case.
You might have something else planned.
Just in case. Let's just say we're available if things were to go down.
That's all. Watch our Twitter, at SportsBuffoons, at LTS_Tanner. Watch for that, guys. We'll announce something if something happens like that.
All right. And with that said, I'll see y'all on the next one.
Outro.
See you guys.